I want to talk today about the topic of mechiras chametz. Okay, there's a new trend. In fact, Rabbi Maievsky, he brought this to my attention. Rabbi Maievsky told me that today the trend is people are not selling their chametz to a guy anymore. People, unless you're in a business, unless you own a bakery, a pizza shop, you own stock in a General Mills or, I don't know, some company, the average person does not have real chametz in their possession. What do you already have in your possession? Some schnapps? So you finish it up before Pesach. Anyway, it's a good idea to get fresh.
Schnapps is chametz nuksha.
Okay, but you're not going to keep it. You're not going to chametz nuksha. It's not chametz deraisa. That's right. What do people say? You always the average rav who has a collection of names.
You have to give it to me. I'll deal with it.
Most chametz that's sold today by the average person to a non-Jew through the Rav is value is schnapps, is alcohol, is whiskey, and that type of stuff. People don't really sell if you have some frozen pizza in the freezer. It's not likely you're going to keep it for Pesach. You're going to throw it in the garbage, or you're going to eat it before Pesach arrives. There's some frozen bread. Chametz gomor. We're talking about arid chametz or chametz. No, I'm talking about in general. Do people today, if you clean out your house, if you clean out your house, you don't own a business that sells chametz, you don't have stock. Even if you have stock, it's machlokes. You have to really sell the stock in a company. Many people say you don't. Some are machmir. It's a good idea to sell if you have stock in a company that manufactures that sells chametz. But the average person doesn't really have any real chametz. And if you're not a big drinker, you're not going to have any real.
Donate it to a food bank, a lot of places.
Give it to. So the question is, if in your assessment you don't have chametz in your possession, do you need to go to the rabbi before Pesach and make a kinyan and put your name down on the shtar and sell your chametz to a guy through the rabbi? So traditionally, I grew up that of course you do.
Yes.
You know, even if you have nothing, even if you don't have one morsel of chametz,
in
a chnami, it used to be. This is how the rabbanim got paid. This is the way a person would show his allegiance, would pledge his allegiance, pay homage to his rav, and show the rav, you know, you're my rav. And in fact, there's a shal the chasam sefer, right, shuvas, where people have multiple rabbanim. It's very common today. So you want to show you sell the chametz to many goyim through many rabbanim in order to mechaber the rabbanim. It's a very no a chasam. It's not a problem. Let the goy figure out. Let the goy fight. You got rid of it. You sold it. It's not a nekach tois. Let the goyim go to court. Who owns your chametz? You got rid of it.
Kill each other for your chametz.
People would sell the chametz to many to multiple or through multiple rabbanim to be mechaber the rav. In other words, in the Yesker Rav, Balabatim is not sensitive to this, but if a Balabas does not come to the Rav to sell the chametz, at least years ago, today it's a whole different generation, people have whole different hasagas, but years ago, the old generation, it was a statement, I don't hold from you. Mm-hmm. If you don't come to the rabbi to sell the chametz, it's a statement. And then not only that, how much did he give the rabbi? If last year he gave the rabbi $100, and this he only gave him $50, it's also a statement. It's one that the person lost his money. The person, the wealthy person, at least he only gave $50. You know, I don't hold from you. I have tithes on you. You didn't do what I wanted. You didn't come through for me. And if you give a bonus, it's also a statement. This is a matter of fact. But the question now, let's not focus on covered and paying homage to your rav. Let's focus on halacha. Let's say you have in your possession absolutely nothing. I don't have a morsel. I don't even have one Cheerio. I have nothing. I don't have any chametz nuksha. There is absolutely nothing to be found in my cabinet that is even possibly chametz. Is it still the right thing for me to do to go to the rabbi?
The rabbi should pay me then.
Is it still the right thing to do to go to the rabbi and to sell your chametz to the rav?
Well, you never know what.
Okay, wait.
What about chametz habluah bekelim?
No, that you mevatel. You don't even. That's no value. The chametz will not. You don't sell that to the rabbi. If you go to a good rabbi, he'll tell you, I'm not selling that. That's bottle. You mevatel. What you're doing is. You're just renting him the space. You're not selling. You're just renting him the space. You're renting him the space. You're not selling that. The kelim, you're not selling him. You're mevatel that. You're not selling. You're selling the chametz to the goy, and you're renting him the place where it rests on. That's what you're doing. But the blue, you're not selling. So here's the question: are you required to do so? So what would you say? So, Rav, there's a very famous tshuva from Rav Shlomo Zalman Arbach, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, and everyone, and what I'm telling you now over here, it comes 99% from the Imre Baruch. This, I told you, a new volume that Rav Baruch Simon, Rav Shiv in YU, just recently published on Minug Bahalacha, Lumdis, a lot of Lumdis in Minhagim, and he quotes this tshuva, which is a very well-known tshuva that everyone deals with, Rav Shlomo Zalman Arbach, Zecher Tzadik Levracha. He's a tremendous chiddush. He says, it's a Minug Yisrael to sell your chametz no matter what. It's a minhag Yisrael. And even if you have absolutely nothing in your possession of chametz, too bad. You go to the rabbi and you sell your chametz. Not because of giving him covet, not because of this, not because of that. Minhag Yisrael. Ad kedei kach, if you decide, you know what, this year I'm going to follow the new trend among the new people, the new generation is not to do this. I'm going to show you, which he, in fact, Rav Baruch Simon, basically says the minhag olam is no longer, is not like, appears the way he seems to say is not like this. The thrust of his article here is that the olam is not really like this, and you only sell your chametz if you have, only sell if you have chametz. And adrabah, if you don't have chametz, it's not a good idea, because I'll explain to you why. But Rav Shlomo Zalman Arbach appears to say that you got to do this. This has a tekef of a minhag. It's a minhag Yisrael. And if you decide this year you're not going to sell the chametz, you have to be matir neder.
So you have to go to Rav anyway.
Very good, excellent. You got to go to Rav anyway to be matir.
Yes, you better charge action.
So what is the issue all about? Now let's first here. Now
the
let's.
The only time you have a taras in the Torah three is before Rosh Hashanah.
Okay, now this is a major topic. I don't know anything about it, but let's just touch upon a few things that I came across. There appears to be a major machlekes hapoiskim. When you sell your chametz to the guy, when you actually do sell the chametz, are you really selling the chametz to a guy? Many poiskim argue that the mechiras chametz is a harama. It's just a.
Right.
A trick. It's a legal fiction. It's not binding in law. Why? Because there are many reasons why. But basically, something you do every single year, and you renege on. If you've been selling the chametz, you know my father, Zichron Levrach, used to sell the chametz. So for 30 years, he sold chametz to a guy. He was involved in 29 years. First, he didn't do it himself. He went and he brought it to. Rav Nissan Alpert did on the Lower East Side, and Rav Moshe was present in the early years. Rav Moshe at that time already was not present; he wasn't well already, and he was not present. But all the Rabbanim in Brooklyn would come to the Lower East Side to MTJ, and they had a guy, and Rav Nissan Alpert, he sold them on behalf of the whole New York City command. and it was a big event. And the older Rabbanim came with their shtaris. After he was nifter, or even before he was nifter, already that stopped. So the other certain other Rabbanim became very popular to go to, but really it splintered off, and people started doing it. Then it's not all that complicated, but you have to know what to do. In fact, today, recently, the last 2-3 years, there's been svarim. For the first time, people have published svarim, manuals, books, shtaros, really going through it in very great detail how to properly sell it to a guy. You make about like 7 kinyanim. You really want to make sure you sell the chametz to the guy, so you do every possible kinyan and shulchan aruch. You got to know how to do it, and it's very interesting. My father really spent a lot of time learning it and developing an art. And people would come and watch, and he did it with all of the bells and whistles. I have it recorded on the computer somewhere on one of the recorders. It's very interesting. You have Dayanim, you have Adim, and he wrote his own shtaros, and it's done, then it should be legal according to New York state law, and he had a lawyer check it out. It's a very interesting thing. But the question is, it really binding? Is it really legal? And the reason why, so remember, the first couple
Does
of years.
Does the guy have to sign his name in Lashon Kodesh?
No, of course not. The guy signs his name. The guy really doesn't have to sign his name altogether. The guy signs. He does sign. Yes. He signs multiple times. But the question is, is it a legal fiction? I mean, so the first year. The guy wasn't so good. I mean, the guy didn't.
In what sense?
father did.
Well, he wasn't allowed in
life. No, he wasn't allowed. He definitely was not allowed.
He has to have a certain amount of intelligence because it's very involved. He has to understand what you're telling him.
He ultimately got like a PhD, postdoctorate. He had a certain number of years, we had some very intelligent people. And they were very fasting, they were very lishma. There was one tikkun where he had a Muslim. And, average intelligence, and it was the first time. I know they make money. The guy, they make money off this. You know, you give them a business, you work it out, they come ahead when the thing is all over.
Yeah, whatever it is.
So the first time, it was a woman, I think. It was a woman, and she really thought she was buying the chametz. And they really are buying the chametz. But when Pesach was over, like my father sat down with her and said, okay, we're going to continue. You know, we made up and you agreed that we're going to continue the process. So they give a down payment. They give us a down payment. We're now going to assign professional appraisers. We have here about 200 people on the list. We're going to go from house to house and we're going to evaluate how much, as we said to do this, how much the liquor is worth. And we're going to go from house to house, and then you only paid us about $50, and you're going to owe us the balance. And this person started shaking in their skirt. Well, in their pants. I think she was wearing pants, but she started really, she really got nervous. It settled in over the holiday what she got into.
Right.
And she really, it was serious business. And she got very scared. It was very noticeable. She got very nervous.
They
were going through with it, right. And she's going to be liable to pay a lot of money. And then my father said, I see you're a little uncomfortable, so you know what, maybe we'll call it off. And I'll buy it back. And whatever. There's a whole process that has to be done when Pesach is over to buy it back. You know, you just don't cancel, you have to buy it back. So she was very happy. And Alan, was she happy when the deal was over? She walked away with cash.
Right.
She walked away with whatever my father gave her.
Did we do this?
So then the next year, it was very obvious she already knew the whole gimmick. And she was looking forward to it. Easy money. You come the day before Passover, and you come 5-10 minutes after Passover, and you walk away with $50, $100, whatever it is. Easy money. And she actually was Tevea, you know, don't forget, I'm going to be your goy from the Chiras Chametz.
Don't be Megayer.
I'm going to be your goy. So this is a very big problem. It's a harama. You know what's coming. Now, technically, it's legal. So there are poiskim that's in this widespread. And this is not just by my father. This is the way it is in Klal Yisrael. This is the way it is the whole world. Even forget about the guy. Mitzad us. We know what we're doing. Forget about the guy, what the guy knows, does know. We're only selling it almanas to buy back. Is that really called a sale? Is that really called a halachic sale that you want to be samechant and get rid of? You not want to be oiva bal yiva bal yimotzei? This is serious stuff here. Bal yiva bal yimotzei. It's a kriyat karis. So you want to go sell chametz to be over on all these play around with these games? Is there gemira stas? Is it really serious? Is it not a harama? So the answer is, this is a very big question. There are two major mahalchim in this sugya. One line of thought is, this entire thing is only a din derabbanan. Why? Because all of your real chametz, guess what? You're mevatel. We don't even know what we're saying. When we say kol chamir v'chamir di'ika b'reshusei techazite d'loy chazite d'vi'arti d'lo b'yati libatel d'lo'v'yakir, you are being mevatel. If you own a store, pizza store, and you have there in the freezer there $1,000 worth of dough and frozen pizza ready to go to Shabbos.
It's hefker.
It's mamish hefker. Oh, but it's locked up. There's lock and key.
Right.
Well, that's a technicality.
Why sell it?
A technicality. Midrabanan. Because since you have a lock and key, it's under lock and key, and you're not letting people come into your house and go to the whiskey cabin and take away $1,000 worth of whiskey, so Rabbanan said, you know, you better sell it. But mi'ikar hadin min ha-toyro, when you say you're mevatel, the bittel does it all. because if you don't have the bittul, the mechira is questionable. So we do the mechira also. The mechira works. Al pi halacha, there's no question it works. Don't make any mistake about it. It's a real mechira. But it's a backup for a bit. When you are mevatel, you mevatel every bit of chametz that you own. That's one mahalach among the poskim. Other poskim say no such thing. The chametz that you sell, you're not mevatel. You're not mevatel. Because whatever you're selling, you're selling. And the sale works. Oh, harama, there's no harama. Technically, does it work? It works. You have kinyanim, you do the kinyanim, your halacha works. You know, you have to know what halacha is. There's a time for lundis, and there's a time for halacha. Legally, it works. It works, it works. There's nothing to be afraid of. Nothing to be embarrassed of. It works. It's not a good deal, and you're playing game, doesn't matter. But adrab, you're not, what you mean mevatel, you're mevatel, and what you're selling, you're selling. L'may nafkemina, so the nafkemina is, now this nafkemina is, let's say you have nothing to sell. Let's say you have, I don't have anything really to sell. I check my cabinet, there's no chametz, and now I'm going now to the Rav to mekayim the mitzvah or the minig of mechiras chametz. If you learn that when you're selling is only a backup, I'm mevatel everything. I have $1,000 worth of schnapps in my kitchen, in my closet, I'm mevatel it. But as a backup, Chazal also, maybe your bittel was not belev shalem. Well, maybe because you're not letting people into your house, so it's not a real belev shalem. So as a minor backup, we go and we have also mechira. But really, I'm mevatel everything I possibly have. So if that's the way you look at mechiras chametz, there's really no harm in going to the Rav and selling chametz. I have nothing to sell you, but I'll put down my address just in case I have somewhere in the house some chametz I was not aware of. I'm not aware of that might be of value to me. I want to sell. I want it to be sold. Because the truth is, the sale is anyway only, your starting point is a blanket bittul on everything that you own in the world. So now there's really no harm doing a mechira. But if you learn that when you sell your chametz to the goy, through the rav, so you're selling your chametz, what I'm selling, I'm not mevatel. So that means I'm now going to the rav, and I'm selling the rav, listen, I don't have any chametz in the house, but there's a minhag Yisrael to sell chametz to the goy through the rav, so you know what, I want to also do it with you. So the rav looks at you, what are you getting involved in this? If you're going to sell something to the goy, that automatically means that ultimately what you're selling, you're not mevatel. You really want to have in your possession something which you're not mevatel and use a mechira that's questionable to get rid of the chametz? That's not a good idea. You see, Angelina, we've repeated this idea. If you learn that when you're selling chametz to the goy, the thing that you're selling to the goy is you're not mevatel. I really own it. I really own it, and I'm really selling it, and you have nothing to sell. I come to the rabbi. What am I selling? Write down the place in the house where the chametz is. I don't have any chametz. You don't have any chametz? So just write down your address. Just in case, maybe there'll be somewhere in the house a bottle of expensive whiskey. So that means I'm not being mevatel. You're basically making a statement. Really, I would prefer to be mevatel everything. I would really love to be mevatel everything. It's just since I also want to be mekayim the minog, so I'm going to hold back for my bittel. That's not a good thing to do. If you would lechatchila be willing to be mevatel everything you own in your possession, that's ideal. So by doing a mechira, it's going to force you not to be mevatel something that you own, that you may own in your house. That's a b'diavad. That's a very big nafkamina. Okay, so Rav Shlomo Zalman Arbach says the minhag olam is no matter what you do. Obviously, it appears Rav Shlomo Zalman Arbach, let's explain the whole of the opinion, is that when you sell chametz to a guy, you're only selling him something which you really don't even own, because really the chametz you're mevatel. Even $1 million worth of chametz you're mevatel. Kol chamir v'chamir everything. Okay, so you also do a mechira. So there's no harm. Anyway, it was mevatel. That's the minhag. You don't want to do that anymore. You got to be matineh there. Other parts can say, no, that's not the way you look at mechiras chametz. Mechiras chametz is the real deal. Whatever you're selling, you're not being mevatel. So if you have nothing to sell, so don't get yourself in trouble. What are you going and holding back on the bittel? The Icarus, the mevatel chametz.
So if he has nothing to sell, it's not going to be bittel?
What? Of course you do bittel. Of course you do bittel. Bittel everything. What?
Well, you do bittel if he has nothing.
What you in a chanami? In a chanami, the Gemara is the question. The Gemara. Okay, so you're touching upon something that's very interesting. So we want to touch upon. Okay, the truth is, the Gemara there's, in the Mishnayos there is no mention whatsoever of bittel. This thing called chamira v'chamia is something which comes from the Amoraim. In the time of the Mishnayos, there is no such thing as bittel. What you do is you do a bedika. You clean out your chametz. There's no such thing as bittel. So the Gemara asks, along comes the Gemara, you have to also be mevatel. Why do you have to be mevatel? Because shema yimso gluski yafe. And therefore, this is a major machlokes to the Ran and all the other Rishon. What does shema yimso gluski, the Ran and the Rosh? It's a very important yisoy to understand for Pesach, which also I believe ties into mechiras chametz. Try to bring it very quickly. Shema yimso gluski, the Ran says a tremendous chiddush. So what? You'll find the gluski yafe. Hover lemafreya. That you were over? No, namavat. There's no bittel. There's no bittel. Well, let's say you were namavat. This is the case. I clean out my house. I miss something. I miss something. Now it's the middle of Pesach. I find the gluski yafe. Now let me ask you the question before you do anything. Was I now over on an iser on a nitz an iser deraisa of Baal Yira Baal Yimotze? I didn't do a bittel, and I found chametz. The Ran says yes. Yes. Limafreya. Hover hadovo limafreya. You had in your possession chametz. You're an oinus. You're a shoygeg. You're a shoygeg. I was oiver, but shoygeg. So in order that I shouldn't be oiver, there's no covenant for Bali or Bali Motse. There's only covenant for Achilo, not for having in your possession. So, but it turns out that I had it in my possession, I did an Avera. So in order to prevent me from accidentally Shema Yimsa Gluski Yafe, so therefore before Pesach begins, I'm a vat on the chametz, I wasn't even oiver for the Gluski Yafe. The Rosh says that's not the pshat. The Rosh is a tremendous chiddush. The Rosh says, if you find I did a bedika, I have a chazaka. What do you want from me? I did everything I'm supposed to do. And now it comes Pesach. I find the gluski yafe. I find she's Danish. It's been vacuum packed. Okay, cheesecake, chametz. It's fresh, delicious. Am I over about the matzah? Over the last 5 days or the last... No, I did it. But now, what do I have to do now?
You have to cover
it. I have to destroy it. No, I have to destroy it because it's too I have to, so. But you know what happened? So go destroy it. Do it. I may delay for 10 seconds. I may say, oh, what a shame. What a shame. What a delicious piece of cake. What a delicious. So the chashash of Baal, why you need to be mevatel, it's an incredible insight from the Rosh. Why you need to mevatel is because I may now, until now I was potter, I did what I was supposed to do. But now that I have discovered chametz, and I have an obligation to immediately dispose of the chametz, and I may say, what a shame. Rachmanis, for 10 seconds. That 10 second delay, you're over Baal Yira Baal Yimotze. But if you know in your neshama that you would not delay even for 1 second, the moment you see it, you would get rid of it right away. So, I'll destroy it right now. The Ran says, no, it's too late. You're already over 5 days, Lemafreya. The Rosh says, no, Lemafreya, what is the Torah? Torah was not given to Malachi Hasharis. You did your own. You finished. You're an oinus. You're not a shogeg, you're an oinus. You did nothing wrong. But now you got to do something. You want to delay for 10 seconds? That's the concern. Now, once there's a very chiddush, when it comes to the ikar reason why you need to be mevatel chametz is because there's a very big problem with being mevatel chametz you don't know about something. When it comes to bittul chametz, there's a lot of discussion that it's a very high level of consciousness of knowing what you're doing. You study the sugyas of bittul, of hefker bezin, hefker and bittul. It has to be chal on something. It's a serious matter to make something hefker, to mevatel. If you know what you have and your mafker works, if you don't know what's going on, I'm mevatel all the chametz, the imaginary chametz that I may own. Really, that works. Bittul is in the mind. It has to be belev shalem. It has to be chal on something. It has to be chal on an object. Where is the challah? On an imaginary piece of chametz that I may discover on Pesach l'mafreya, it should be bottle. It's a very, very difficult. It's a very difficult concept to say that a bittel on an imaginary piece of chametz works.
Maybe that's what you make when you burn it. So it should,
well, that's when you're burning. You got it in front of you. But let's say I'm mivat something I don't know about. It's very, very difficult. So what happens? The truth is, there's a chakiris. What I'm saying is not clear. When you do the bittel, it's totally va'oimet. I'm vatel something, all the chametz that I own. When I discover it later on Pesach, the bittel then works either l'mafreya or mikanu l'abo. Bittel alone on something that's imaginary can work. But you send out a signal.
That's only good according to the
You send out a signal. It works according to both. The only question was, will it work l'mafreya, work mikanu l'abo? I'm a vatel chametz that I don't own. That I don't know about. Wherever it is. Is that chametz yet batel? Can't be, because the bittel was not chal on an object. You have to at least be aware the object exists, according to one approach. When you later discover a piece of bread on Pesach, that it does exist, now, at that moment in time, connect. The bittel that I made Erev Pesach will now connect with the piece of bread that I have discovered. Poof! It's bottle. It's either bottle mikanu l'haba, it's bottle l'mafreya, but now the machshava, it's chal on the object. Now here's the very big problem. What happens if you never find chametz? You never find it. You have chametz in your possession, you own chametz, you have in your possession, and you never ever discover the chametz. Were you over in Baal Yirah, Baal Yimotze? So according to the Ran that says that you go, according to the Ran that says you go back to l'mafreya, yeah, you were even bali or bali motze, but I was mevatel it. But bittel only works according to one mahalik if you know about it. How can you be mevatel something? So if you'll discover the chametz 10 years later, okay, maybe l'mafreya will say the bittel you made a Pesach is chal on the object. But let's say, here's the big question: let's say you own chametz and you never, for the rest of your life, discover that you own this chametz. Were you over Bali Rabali Matzah? If you ate up all the kedats, according to the Ran, it could very well be that you over Bali Rabali Matzah. The only thing that can save you is Mechiras Chametz. So Mechiras Chametz, the ultimate benefit you get from Mechiras Chametz are selling things that you don't know about. Selling what you know about, according to some, that's really, you really mafker it. The mevatel, what you don't know about, according to the Ran is mechadish, and if you mevatel chametz, that you don't know about, according to the Ran, you over l'mafreya. But in order for the bittel to work, you have to one day discover the chametz does exist. So the bittel was chal on chefza. The machshava has to be chal on chefza. But if you'll never, your whole life, discover that you own chametz, you're in a lot of trouble. Because you own the chametz, and the hefker, the bittel you made, was not chal on something that you were aware of. And according to the Ran, l'mafreya, the fact that it exists means you over bali, So we how do you avoid the problem? The solution is sell, because selling can be on the imaginary. Selling is not totally in your machshava, give me your stas. Selling, it depends upon the document. You sign the shtar, I sold it. It's your chametz, it belongs to the guy, even though I don't know about it, it solves all the problems. So therefore it comes out that according to the Zamachalich, and why this minig is a very powerful minig, according to the sheet of the
if you find it later, it's Dovashele Bololim.
No, not Dovashele Bololim, it's Bololim, it exists. It exists now, over the entire Pesach. I don't know where it is. Okay, so the bittel can't work. Because you don't know about it. It has to be chal on something. And the Ran, so you'll tell me, oh, so I'm not a Bali Rabbi Matzah, you know about it. The Ran says, you're even a my friend, Bali Rabbi Matzah. So how do I ever get rid of it? Mechira, this does the trick for you.
But usually you sell certain things.
Right, l'chatkila you specify. But the Mechira also is kola, what you don't specify. And the Mechira specifies. Okay, we'll stop over here. Have a good day.